Good morning, Rockville Christian Church. How's everybody doing today? You guys enjoying that 50-degree weather this week? Now, I'm told to be careful about expecting more of the same weather. I think we're in full spring, I think, is what they call that. So let's hopefully it's here to stay, but maybe not. Let's just expect a second winter. And if we don't get that, we'll be happily surprised. Sound good? All right. Well, this morning we are finishing a series in the Psalms, and today we're going to be hitting the topic Psalms of Praise. Now, in the NIV Bible, the word praise or some form of it is used over 360 times, and a little over half of those occurrences occur in the Psalms. So you can tell just by the magnitude of appearances in the Psalms that praise is a key theme that we find there in the Psalms. Anyone who's been a long-time Christian knows this, and they know what praise is, but there may be those out there who aren't as familiar with praise in the Christian sense. So let's just say that, you know, praise in a secular sense means this warm affirmation of something good. We could praise our dog for sitting well on command, or we can praise employees for doing well at their tasks. We can praise any number of people for any number of things, small or big. But when Christians praise, when we praise God, we tend to narrow that definition down a little bit. We more precisely pinpoint praise to something more specific. We tend to say praise is ultimately to God, for He is the one where all good things come from. And when we praise God, we don't just praise Him for trivial or menial things. We give praise to God for everything, right? So one of my mentors in ministry was once explaining how frustrating something can be. And it's when people come back from mission trips or camps or things like that. He said, you ask them the question, how was the trip? And they say, it was good. It was great. I saw God move. And while none of those things are wrong, and I fully believe them, the frustration lies in the total vagueness of the response. Of course it was good. Of course it was great. Of course you saw God move. That's what we were hoping for. That's what we were praying for. And thank goodness that happened. But what actually happened? Right? That tells me almost nothing about the trip. Okay, yes, it was good. It was great. I saw God move. I could say that at Chipotle on a Sunday afternoon for lunch. Right? It can be a really good thing, but hopefully there's something more going on these trips and things. So when we talk about praise, and we talk about praising God, we don't be vague with it. We aren't vague with it, right? And the Psalms move past this vagueness, and they get into, you know, some very specifics about why we are to praise God and how we should praise God. This guy, Mark Furtado, he's author of Interpreting the Psalms. It's a really great book if you're looking to understand the book of Psalms as a whole and looking at the parts of it. But he writes this about our particular topic this morning. He says, hymns, which is another word for Psalms of Praise, usually fall into three sections. There's an opening invitation to praise God. There is a central delineation of the praiseworthy characteristics and actions of God, and a concluding affirmation of faith or a renewed invitation to praise and worship. So if you turn your Bibles, we're gonna look at those three sections in Psalm 118. It's a great example of these three sections, so we're going to look at that one. While you're turning there, an interesting side note to Psalm 118 is that it is the last psalm in a series of psalms called the Hallel. The Hallel is usually recited at three major Jewish holidays, including the Passover, which is coming up here in about a month or so, and other minor Jewish holidays. They usually do it at the beginning of each month as well. The word Hallel just means praise. It's as simple as that. And then we have God, which is Jehovah or Yahweh. The J in the Hebrew gets translated as an H sometimes. It's just one of those translation things here. And so hallelujah is just praise be to God. So now you know a little bit more Hebrew than maybe when you came in. Okay, so hopefully you're there now looking at Psalm 118. Let's look at verses 1 through 4. We find that in this first section, there is this opening invitation to praise God. It says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." And then he calls different groups to praise God, right? He calls the Israelites to praise God. He calls all these different groups to praise God. So right off the bat, the speaker of the Psalms sets the tone for the congregation, gives them an expectation of what's to come. Just from this first line, these first few verses even, they know that this is going to be a psalm of praise. So why would he do that? Why not just start praising God from the get-go and just going into all those reasons? There's a couple of different thoughts here. Those Israelites, just one thought here, those Israelites like to grumble and argue and bicker. We know this from even the beginning. Jacob, or Israel, had these 12 sons who did not get along very well. They argued and fought. They weren't always of one mind. They even sent one of their younger siblings to go be a slave in Egypt because they didn't like him very much. And then ever since then, they had been grumbling and bickering throughout the desert. They complained about having bland food in the desert. They complained in a nation about not having a king, and they complained in a kingdom about being under the rule of another kingdom, and the list just goes on and on, and we're not all that different. We complain about not having our favorite bills passed, about e-learning days, about the cost of gas, about our kids going to IU instead of Purdue, you name it. It's been complained about. When we complain, we focus on ourselves. We focus on things we don't like because it affects us, and we selfishly focus on ourselves. And we do that, when we do that, we make mistakes. And psalms of lament or regret usually are found after the author has made a regretful mistakes. So if laments follow after a life of regret, psalms of praise follow a life of praise. These psalms are written in a time of well-being, of prosperity. They're all about focusing on the good that God has done and the things about God that are worthy of praise. And it's usually easier to see those things in a time of prosperity, in a time of well-being and goodness. And so it makes sense that that is what the author of this psalm is going to write about. But right off the bat, we know this is a psalm of praise, and hopefully that allows those who have not been living a life of praise to reorient themselves to this psalm. Right? It's a shift in their mindset. And those that have been living well, they know this feeling very well, and hopefully it gives them the opportunity to give the praise for the good things in their life to God. So once we're in the right mindset, the leader goes into all of those reasons why we're praising God in verses 5 through 27. This is that second part, the central delineation of the praiseworthy characteristics and actions of God, right? So this is just all the reasons why God is praiseworthy. So a little sampling here. Verse 7, "The Lord is with me. He is my helper. I look in triumph on my enemies." Verse 14, "The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation." Verse 18, "The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death." Verse 21, "I will give thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation." So here we see God as a helper, God as a protector, God as a redeemer, and God as a savior all throughout this one passage, this one psalm. Now the author of the psalm is recounting very personal reasons why he should praise God, which makes sense. He wrote it. But these psalms have been used again and again for thousands of years because they are good reasons for anyone to praise God. He is powerful, he is protective, he is compassionate, kind, and just. And beyond that, he is the most of those things. He is the most powerful, most protective, he is the most compassionate, most kind, and most just. And you won't find anyone that can best him at those qualities. But we forget those things sometimes. And if forgetting, again, we will start to rely on our own insufficient power and strength. We start to judge people based on our imperfect version of justice. We start to decide who deserves compassion, kindness, and protecting, and become upset when others choose to not give us compassion, kindness, and protection. And so being reminded that, you know, not only that we are imperfect, but that we have a perfect God who is compassionate and kind towards us helps put things back into perspective and shifts the focus from ourselves and back to who really matters. Many churches use these psalms in liturgies, and liturgies are just fancy sets of worship, very specific sets of worship that churches can go through to draw on some specific themes and qualities of God that helps get their congregation in the right mindset and mood for a message or a sermon. And a lot of these psalms are used in these liturgies. And Psalm 136 is one of these psalms that is used in most of those liturgies of praise, and it's called the Great Hallel. And again, Hallel means praise, so it's the great praise. So Psalm 136 is a call and response type psalm. And it goes into all these reasons why the Israelites were to praise God, why the Hebrews should praise God. So let's do some of this together. I'm going to read the call, and you guys will read the response. And as we do this, I want you to focus in on the words and imagery that is displayed in the psalm. And I have different sections and colors for different people. So if the response is orange, everybody reads that. If the response is blue, I want just the men to read that. If the response is purple, just the women read that. All right, so let's go ahead and start here. Psalm 136, verse 1. We won't hit every verse in here, but we will hit a good portion. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Give thanks to the God of gods. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. To him alone who does great wonders, who by his understanding made the heavens, who spread out the earth upon the waters, who made the great lights, the sun to govern the day, the moon and stars to govern the night. To him who divided the Red Sea asunder and brought Israel through the midst of it, but swept Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea. To him who led his people through the wilderness. He remembered us in our low estate and freed us from our enemies. He gives food to every creature. Give thanks to the God of heaven. All right, thank you guys. Now, I don't know about you, but I've never personally walked through the Red Sea, at least not on dry ground, and I think it's been a while since it's been split like that. So those Hebrews obviously had some very different personal reasons to praise God. They had different life experiences, and so they had a different reason to praise God. And so why do we as 21st century Christians praise God? Again, I told you earlier that some of those reasons that we looked at in the Psalms, that are displayed in the Psalms, are good for any time. And yes, great, I'm glad that God split the Red Sea for the Hebrews, but I don't really have a super personal tie to that story. So what do we as 21st century Christians have to praise God about? So one of these common threads we find in Psalm 118. It's because it alludes to something that happens later. Verses 22 through 24. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice today and be glad. And we know this cornerstone to be referring to Jesus Christ, his leading example in his life, his oneness with God, his teachings, his fulfillment of prophecies, his self-sacrificial atoning death, and his permanent life-giving resurrection, allowing for the transformation and change of so many broken lives and the coming of his kingdom. And those are all things that we can praise the God of heaven for. So I can tell you without a shadow of doubt that without Jesus Christ, I would not be the same person that you see up here today. And I'm sure many of you can say the same thing about yourselves, that without Jesus, this congregation would look very different. Most of us may not even know each other. I for sure wouldn't know you guys. I don't know where I'd be. But I probably wouldn't know you guys. So praise God for Jesus Christ. The final part of this praise psalm is either an affirmation of faith or a second call to worship. This psalm actually has both. In the final couple of verses, it says, "You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." These psalms of praise start with praise, they're filled with praise, and they end with praise. They're written in times when everything's going well, where it may be easiest to see God's glory rather than from the darkness of personal troubles. They help remind us of that greatness of God and can help us recenter in those dark times. They help us remember to give God credit when things are going well, and they remind us why our God is worth our devotion and adoration. There's that phrase that you guys repeated quite a bit, "His love endures forever." And praise God for that. And that's obviously a key theme, not only in that psalm, but throughout other psalms in the book of Psalms as well. And it's also a key theme throughout scriptures. His love endures forever. There's actually a word in Hebrew that captures this, and it's chesed. It's this word that talks about his enduring and faithful love that has spanned all the way since the beginning of time to now where we are today. From when we were first born and perfect and clean with no sin to today. Even after all the mistakes that have been made, after all the troubles and issues that we've gone through and maybe even caused, his love endures forever. So I want to leave you with two questions this morning. Two things to take home and focus on. The first is, what are your personal reasons to praise God? And the reasons will vary as the people in this room are varied. It could be for a job promotion. It could be for the healthy and successful birth of a child. It could be for a friend who's coming out of hard times. What are your personal reasons to praise God? And the second question is, what are you going to do about it? So as we continue to worship our God and Creator this morning, let's encourage each other to praise God with our voices and our words. Let's go before God in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for who you are, for your power and strength, for your wisdom in guiding us, for your Holy Spirit in us that helps us know what's right and wrong, for the scriptures that you have inspired your people to write that have lasted till now, so that we can know who you are, so that we can know how great of a God you are, so that we can know the love that you have given us through Christ Jesus, so that we can know the example that you set for us in him, for providing a way for us to be close to you and your holiness. Lord, we love you and we thank you so much for you, for your presence here this morning. It's in your name we pray. Amen.